And so it tells us how to have spiritual happiness in the favor of God, how to have spiritual happiness in the favor of God through this psalm. And so I've been studying this psalm myself for the last couple of weeks or so. And so when Pastor asked me to preach, I thought, well, this must be why I'm doing this psalm. So let's start off by reading the psalm, Psalm 32, verse 1. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Selah. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Selah. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and brittle, lest they come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. All right, let's go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to look at your word. Lord, we do ask for your help now. Father, I pray that you would help me to deliver the message that you would have for us tonight. Lord, we pray that you'd fill me with your spirit. Help me say only what you have me to say. Please open our minds and our hearts. Help us to understand what your word is saying to us here in this passage. And we love you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So the psalm starts with blessed. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. And I would like to define some terms for you first. They're going to be repeated throughout this psalm. And starting with blessed, and that means, in this case, enjoying spiritual happiness and favor with God. Spiritual happiness and favor with God. And this is specifically dealing with getting that through the confession of sin, through the confession and subsequent forgiveness of sin through the Lord Jesus Christ. So ask yourself this question: can you describe yourself as blessed? Are you spiritually happy and in favor with God? Are you? Does that describe your spiritual life right now as is? And there has been many times in my life where that has not described my spiritual life as overabundantly spiritually happy and in favor with God. Thus the reason for me studying this psalm and going and coming with this message. So this is a message that I preach to myself as we go through this. This has been a study for myself, but I believe there's a lot of very helpful things in here. But can you describe yourself right now as blessed, as spiritually happy, and in the favor of God? If not, you need to confess sin. You need to confess sin and live godly and righteously, according to the psalm. We will look at that. We will look at what this tells us to do. There can be times in our spiritual life where we can, that we are unhappy spiritually, even frustrated at times at our spiritual condition. I know I've been there. Frustrated at my spiritual condition. Is that something that perhaps you're currently going through? Is your spirit tormented by your failures, spiritually or otherwise? Are you heavy with grief? What is it that you're going through that would prevent you from being, say, well, as blessed, enjoying spiritual happiness right now? This chapter gives us some answers as how to get over that, how to get there, how to move past that that frustration and spiritual hindrances. And we're going to look at some big ones here that it helps us with. Okay, in these first couple of verses, it kind of starts off with an introduction to the chapter and then goes into what talks about. It starts out with, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile." We already defined the word blessed, the word transgression. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. Transgression, a willing violation of the law. As we will see, this is one of the first steps to confessing sin and getting right with God, is recognizing that it is a transgression. It is a willing violation of the law. It is something that the sin that I committed that is currently hindering my spiritual life and I need to confess to make it right with God, is something that I did willingly. It was me. It wasn't my wife's fault. It wasn't my kids' fault. It wasn't my coworker's fault. It was me. It was my fault. I did a willing violation of the law. Forgiven. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. Forgiven, this word, verse 2, putting away. Put away, pardoned, remitted. It speaks of to send the transgression away, to not impute the transgression. And it is important to note that in this case, well, it's we use forgiveness in different ways, but it's commonly, this is it's the transgression that is forgiven. Not to say, it's common for us to, refer to people as forgiven, but actually, technically, it's the sin that is forgiven, that's put away, that's rejected. That's what this is talking about. The transgression is forgiven. So forgiven, to put away, it's overlooking the offense, which results in the offender being treated as not guilty. It's not imputing the transgression to the people to be forgiven. So, a transgression is you broke the law, and now you are guilty, and that is imputed unto you. That is on your account, and you are going to suffer the consequences of that. But to be forgiven is to have that removed from your name, from your account. It's put away. It's not imputed unto you. It's forgiven. Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sin is covered. Covered here, to be hid, to be concealed by God. We're going to look at two different types of covering sin here. One is the type that we do. One is something that God does. When God covers our sin, that's what we want. That's when he hides it, when he puts it away, he blots it out, as another psalm, blot out my iniquity. That's also a legal term, along with these terms of transgression and forgiven. These are all legal terms. And it refers to, your transgression is literally written down on the court document, on the document. And to be covered is to be blotted out. It's blotted out with ink, and it's gone. That is no longer under your name. This is kind of what these terms are referring to. This psalm is very similar to Psalm 51. In fact, when you're reading through the Psalms, it seems like, and I don't know this for sure, but if you're going to place Psalm 32 somewhere chronologically, it would easily go right after Psalm 51. It's a follow-up psalm to Psalm 51, basically. Verse 2 says, "Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity." Impute there, that this is kind of the opposite of what we talk about with forgiveness. This is to set to the account of, to charge. If you are imputed with a transgression or with sin, it's been charged. You've been charged with that sin. It's on your account. You're going to have to pay for it. It's something that's imputed to you. You've got to pay for it. Iniquity, word iniquity there. Blessed man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. Iniquity is an injustice, unrighteousness, any deviation from the truth. There's three main words for sin. There's sin, transgression, and iniquity. And that we'll see in this passage. Transgression, the ruling violation of the law. Iniquity, the deviation from the truth. You did something that was not according to the truth. It's something that should not have been done. You didn't do something right. Didn't do something the right way. You didn't do something according to how it was supposed to be done. It's iniquity. It says, "And in whose spirit there is no guile." Guile referring to deceit. And we'll go through. So we're going to kind of come back to these verses. We're going to use them to define these terms. As we can see these two, we'll come back to these verses, and we'll see how the chapter fills out here. So these verses give kind of introduction to what this is going to be talking about. The man whose sin is forgiven and is covered unto him the Lord imputed not iniquity, that man is blessed. So how do you get there? How do you get to that point? This chapter is going to talk about that. Now, this is something that this chapter can easily, you know, obviously be applied to the forgiveness of sins with salvation, you know, to the lost sinner realizing his need of his sin and asking Christ to save him and receiving forgiveness of sins, and his sins are no longer imputed to him. I mean, of course, that's an application here. That man truly is blessed beyond all measure. But this is more specifically, you know, this is David himself talking about himself and something he's gone through. And David was not, in this case, you know, a lost man, you know, finding salvation in this case. This is someone who is a believer already and is seeking forgiveness of sins that he has committed as a Christian. And so that's more the specific application that we're going to look to in this passage here. So this passage is going to talk a lot about sin. Sin that calls for the wrath of God. Sin that makes us the enemy of God. And sin that is even hard for us to comprehend, as the Bible talks about. Psalm 19:12. Let me read this verse to you real quick. Psalm 19:12 says, "Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults." Who can understand his errors? So in verse 3 here, we're going to talk about Psalm 19. Verse 3 is, "When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture turned into the draw of summer." We have here this man who is very burdened by his sin. He's very burdened by his sin. He has kept silence about it. He has unconfessed sin, is what that is referring to. And his bones are waxing old. He is roaring all the day long. The hand of God is heavy upon him. His moisture, his soul is like dried up and all the life is zapped out of it because of his sin, his unconfessed sin. Sometimes we need to get to that point. We need to understand just the fact of the weight of our sin. It can be possible for a Christian to have sin in his life, to have unconfessed sin. You're living in sin, or you have something unconfessed in your life, but you don't realize how serious that is. You don't realize it's not something that is heavy upon you, as it were, as it is for David here. If we're going to come to the point where we're forgiven, where the Lord imputes not our iniquity, if you have been forgiven, it means you have come to the point where you are honest with yourself. It's the end of verse 2, "In whose spirit there is no guile." If you come to the point where you're honest with yourself about your sin and have dealt with it, we can't be self-deceived. We can't let ourselves be deceived about our sins. We can deceive ourselves and have false dreams about our true condition and think everything is fine. But you know, we have to get to the point where we're going to be honest about our sin, about what it is, and that it needs to be taken care of. Not confessing our sin will lead to problems, as we see in verse 3 and 4. This guy had some problems because of not confessing his sin. Proverbs 28:13 tells us that he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. That is true. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. That's what we see happening to the psalmist here in verse 3 and 4. He's not prospering. He's not blessed. His bones are waxing old. He's roaring all day long. He is miserable. He is miserable. We must try to understand just how great the error of our sin is. We need to get to this point. Our sin is not a light thing. Like David, we must get to the point where we see our iniquities as in Psalm 19. Let's see, I read Psalm Psalm 51. Let me read you verse Psalm 51. Not Psalm 51 yet. Psalm 38. Sorry about that. My notes are slightly jumbled here. Psalm 38 is where I want us to look at here. Psalm 38, look at verse 3. There is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger, neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin. Similar here to what we read in Psalm 32. No rest in his bones because of his sin. Verse 4 says, for mine iniquities are gone over my head, as in heavy burden, they are too heavy for me. And my iniquities are gone over my head. David here is realizing just how bad his sins are, and he is very burdened by them. We need to get to the point, if you have sin in your life, and you're going to get to the point where you're going to confess it and seek the Lord's face and get his forgiveness and seek his forgiveness, you have to get to this point where you see your iniquities as over your head and too heavy to bear. Your sin is not a light thing. Psalm 19:12, as we read, is, you know, who can understand his errors? You cannot even fathom our guilt before God. Think about it. Let's think about it a little bit. Let's try to think about the weight of our sin, the weight of our guilt, and how heavy it is, how much it is. Think of sins that are perhaps special to your case, that perhaps are sins for you that aren't sins for someone else necessarily. Sins of omission, particularly, like this. What sins of omission do you commit because of your position on life? Again, as I said in the beginning, I'm preaching to myself here. It's the things that I've gone through with myself. I'm preaching to myself here with this. But what sins of omission do we commit because of our position in life, because of what we've been given? Were you raised in a godly home by godly parents? Do you know what your duty to God is? Have you been a Christian in church for a long period of time? Are you a mature Christian who's read your Bible and you know what your duty is to God? You know what you're supposed to do. You know things that you're supposed to do, but you don't do it. When you don't do it, your sin is double of what someone else who doesn't know and isn't doing it. The book of James talks about, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, even to him it is sin. What sins of omission do you have in your life that things that you're supposed to be doing? Here as a church, our church, many people in this church, we're involved in many ministries in our church. We try to reach the lost around us. We have so many different ministries and so many different servants serving in this church. In those ministries, though, add a tremendous weight of responsibility, even just the ministry that every Christian has with the gospel. It's a tremendous weight of responsibility. And what sins of omission do we have when we take it lightly? When we take it lightly, when we aren't burdened for souls, when we are unfaithful in one way or another, you know, think of how our sins can add up, you know, because of sins of omission. Think of the fall, okay, the condition we are all in because of the fall. We cannot truly know the true extent of our guilt because of the fall, because of our condition. Our minds are dimmed, our will is perverted, our judgment is turned away from what is right, our whole nature has become vicious, our sinful nature is full of potential to sin. Think of the potential to sin that we have in us. The potential that I see in my own life, you know, it's scary. It's scary. We need to be aware of this. We need to be aware of the weight and the burden of sin. Psalm 51, verse 5, the psalmist says, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did I mother conceive me. We have that sin nature within us. We're fallen. We can't even understand whatever sin because of our fallen nature. Think of the law, of course, as we know. So Romans 3:20 says, by the law is the knowledge of sin. The law, okay, so the law will teach us of sin. And when you look at the law, the Ten Commandments by themselves, you know, they can seem simple initially, but they deal with deep matters of the heart, don't they? The law is, it's much more than just what they say on their face. The mere, you know, one mere thought of breaking one of those laws is enough to condemn a man to hell. Just the thought of breaking one of God's laws can condemn a man to hell. How much multitudes of those thoughts do we have? is our sin. Our sin is my sin has gone over my head when we think about it. The meaning of the law, so stupendous, and it is extremely strict. It is severely strict. We can't even begin to know the fullness of its meaning, let alone keep it. When we think of the weight of our sin, sin is best measured by its punishment. Think of the punishment of hell. Think of how great that is. Think of how, if an eternity in hell is equal punishment for one thought against the law of God, I'd say sin is a big deal. The punishment describes the measure of the sin. Think of that. God is just, but God will not put his creatures to one single pain greater than what is just to their sin. He is perfectly just. He will never unjustly overpunish someone. And he has determined that the horrors of hell, the lake of fire, are just punishment for our sin. Do we take our sin seriously? This is not a light thing. This is something we need to be very serious about. Think of the sufferings of Christ, what Christ had to go through to pay for our sin. Think of the Mount of Olives, when the thought of the sin of the world being put on him was enough to drive Christ to sweat blood. Imagine it. Imagine him in the Garden of Eden, in the Garden of Gethsemane, agonizing and covered in blood from his sweat with just the thought of sin being laid upon him. You know, of course, the sufferings of Calvary on the cross, the scourgings, that was for sin. That's how serious my sin is, our sin is. This is, we have to try to understand. We have to, like David here, you know, there is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger. No rest in my bones because of my sin. When we have sinned against God, how does that affect you? Does it affect you like it did David? And sometimes we need to get, you think of, you know, we're talking about Psalm 51 here. Obviously, the obvious sin here we're talking about David is a sin with the adultery with Bathsheba, the murder of her husband, terrible sins. It doesn't seem like he really felt this way until the prophet came to him and had to confront him about it. He was trying to hide it, to cover it up, but he got to the point where he is just completely overwhelmed with the weight of his sin. When we have sin in our life, you need to get to that point where this is unbearable. I cannot do this. This is too heavy for me. This is horrible. I cannot do that. We need to feel that tremendous heavy burden of guilt and sin. But as we're going to see in the Psalm 32, so this is something that most, if not all, Christians in this room, you have felt that. You have felt that when you have sinned against God. And if you have any desire to please God and to follow His Word, and you know that you have willingly sinned against God, you know that heaviness, that tremendous guilt, that tremendous weight, that what have I done against my Lord and my Savior? You know, that darkness of the spirit of sin. But as we're going to see in the Psalm, and as we know, of course, through Scripture, there is a way to alleviate that. God offers us forgiveness through that. And we're going to see what we do to get there. There is a way to alleviate the tremendous heavy burden of guilt and sin. Acknowledgement and confession of sin leads to the forgiveness of God. He takes it away. Psalm 32, verse 5. Verse 5. Here's the formula. Here's the formula of what to do when you need to get right with God. Psalm 32, verse 5. It says, I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Here's the formula here. And thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin, Selah. These words, Selah, there's so there's one after verse 4, verse 5, verse 7. It's a pause. It's a musical term. It actually, I was trying to research this word. It's hard to find information on this word. But found couple of sources. It's a musical term, perhaps referencing to a pause in the music and a change of keys. Like something about the music is about to change. And you can see that in the psalm. After each Selah, something about the message is going to change. You know, verse 4 is, day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. You know, the hand of God is upon me. My moisture is turning to dry. Selah, stop, pause, think about that. Something's about to change. Verse 5, I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. And there's another Selah. There's a pause. Think about it. Something's about to change a little. Anyways, but verse 5 here, this formula. First of all, acknowledge your sin. Acknowledge your sin. Acknowledge that what you did was wrong and that it was your fault. As David, we see David doing this often in Psalm 51. I'll read this, verses 3 and 4. It says, for I acknowledge my transgressions. And that word, that's a willing violation of God's law. And my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Acknowledge your sin, that what you did was wrong, and it was your fault, not someone else's fault. It was you. Don't hide your iniquity. Number 2, mine iniquity have I not hid. God is not okay with us hiding our sin. He wants it removed. God's not okay with us covering up our sin and hiding it. He will cover it up through His forgiveness. He is not okay with us covering up our sin. This brought to mind when I was a kid. You know, we had these Christian movies. We had Super Christian movie. And there's a scene in the movie where there's this young man. He's super Christian at church, everything perfect at church. But at home, he's a different story. And Sunday afternoon, super Christian. He's back home from church. So he's laid out on his couch. He's got his basketball shorts on. He's got the TV on. You know, there's junk food and chips and papers all over the living room. And the pastor comes over for a visit. The pastor knocks on the door. Super Christian looks through the window. Oh, no, it's the pastor. So what does he do? Picks up the couch cushion, scoops everything up he possibly can, throws it under the couch, you know. He's cleaning it up real quick. He's covering up his sin really quick. And the pastor then sits on the couch. There's this really funny noise when he sits on the couch. So don't be like that. We don't want to cover up our sins, kick it under the rug, throw it in the couch quick. We want to take care of it. We want to acknowledge it. And don't hide it. My iniquity. We can't hide anything from the Lord. As far as possible, dig out the depths of your sin. Lay it out before the Lord. Don't try to acknowledge it. Confess it. As painful as it may seem to do, to acknowledge that, I did that. And I can't believe I did that. But I did that. And I have to deal with the consequences now. God, help me. Forgive me. What do I do? You have to get there. You have to do that. Don't hide your sin. Confess your transgressions unto the Lord. As it says, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Thirdly, confess to the Lord. We don't confess to a priest. We don't confess to a man. We confess to the one who you have sinned against. And our sins are against God, are always against God. Confess to the Lord. God responds in mercy when we confess, but in judgment when we hide our sins. Don't hide your sins. Confess them to the Lord. You will respond to mercy. I am not going to have enough time to get through the whole of the sermon of this message, but verse 10, towards the end of the chapter, says, many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. God promises mercy. If you will trust in God by going to Him, confessing to Him, and all of Him, mercy will compass you about. I like the sound of that. I know when I go throughout my day, there's so many. Imagine God's mercy. When you're trying to be right with God. Now, okay, if he's talking about mercy here, that means you've done something wrong. That means you need mercy. So it's not saying you're going to be perfect all the time. But if you're going to trust in the Lord by going to God and you're trying to live godly, when you mess up, you're trusting God enough to acknowledge your sins and to trust in Him for forgiveness, you're surrounded by mercy. Everywhere you turn, it's mercy, mercy. I like the sound of that because everywhere I turn, I mess something up and I need some mercy. That's the promise of God here to those who will acknowledge their sin, not hide their iniquity, confess their transgressions to the Lord. Confession softens and humbles the heart. God looks for a broken heart. The Bible says, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. Such it be of a contrite spirit. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, that will not despise. And there's several of the verses that speak of this. Confession of sin will lead to that broken and contrite heart before God. That's one big key to getting there for that. And then God's forgiveness, the fourth step here. Thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. That, to me, lately has been one of the most encouraging little pieces of Scripture ever. Like, he's under this weight of sin. You know, his sin is over his head. All this guilt, all this iniquity, everything he's done. He goes to God, pours it out to God, confesses sin. What's God's response? Thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. It's done. It's over. It's gone. It's forgiven. It's taken away. God forgave him. He forgives us. Isn't that amazing? We don't have to go through sin, go through life, carrying our burden and our guilt of this sin, of all the terrible things. We can go to God, confess it, receive forgiveness, and then live godly. Live godly. Verse 3. Everyone that live God that is godly, pray unto thee in time of thy misery. We're going to go on. I don't have time to get the rest of the message, but basically the rest of it is the blessings of having a right relation with God because of confessing. You have answered prayer, safety from disasters, divine instruction and guidance, mercy, and joy. These all come, that's a blessed Christian life. That's a Christian life that has spiritual happiness and is in favor with God. It starts with the acknowledgement and confession of sin. All right, and I'll stop right there.